Welcome to VPG's Virtual Water Cooler Chat Podcast, a platform that celebrates the rich tapestry of professional diversity, with a particular emphasis on empowering women. We aim to foster diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, DEIA, for all, while recognizing and championing the achievements of everyone as a central pillar of our journey. In our conversations, we explore a wide spectrum of backgrounds, experiences, and perspectives, creating a vibrant mosaic that enriches our collective understanding and strengthens our commitment to diversity and empowerment. We had our on-location podcast recording at Sakina Iskandarova's Roman Shop at the Reston Town Center. It was a lot of fun, as I included our junior creative engineer, Gazellen Cantuba, in this recording. With a remarkable 12-year tenure in the fashion industry, Sakina Iskandarova effortlessly navigates the diverse style needs of Washington, D.C. women. Despite the glamorous facade, Sakina understands the responsibility that comes with dressing an eclectic clientele, ranging from high-profile individuals to devoted stay-at-home moms. Beyond fashion, Sakina is a staunch advocate for empowering women and nurturing the younger generation, using her platforms to inspire confidence and celebrate individuality. A trailblazer in the industry, she continues to redefine fashion norms, proving that style is a language spoken by all, irrespective of their background or profession. Let's get started.
Well, thank you so much for this in-person virtual water cooler chat interview with us today, Sakina. Of course, we want to know a little bit more about your cultural and background of how you come to this day.
Absolutely. So, Sakina was born in Baku, Azerbaijan. It's a country in Europe. And after moving to US, I realized that not many people know about that country, but very rich in terms of culture and the neighboring countries, and then how we were part of the Soviet Union after we got independence, the road that we've made, you know, since, and where we are right now. It makes me very proud to be here and representing my country. I was born in Baku, raised there until 21, and moved to US right after I got married. Has been here almost 18 years now.
That's quite fascinating because I'm an immigrant myself, originally from Hong Kong. And when you come here at 21, how does the assimilation process work for you?
In my case, I think it worked and I got adopted so fast. And I'm assuming because even in Baku, I was working for US companies, and already the way that I was communicating with Americans, and we had, I mean, people from other nationalities as well. But when I came here, I did not feel that I was in a foreign country. Most likely it had to do a lot with the language because I already spoke English, and then also I was familiar with the culture. So I got adapted pretty well and fast. However, I saw that, oh my God, I still don't know a lot of things, even though I've been working with them for years. You know, I've been invited to their parties, to their birthdays, to their weddings, but still so much were different. And I just kept taking everything in. I was fascinated by everything, how big everything was, the roads, the buildings. But then people probably, you know, impressed me the most, how friendly and welcoming they were. And it's just, you know, even though I was from a totally different country, but they made me feel at home. And I loved every single moment that I spent. My first days here, I'll never forget, because I just felt, oh my God, I love my home, but I feel home already. Mm-hmm. So it was an amazing experience.
Do you think that it has something to do with your own warmth in terms of personality?
I'm a very friendly person. I don't know about social part, because I was a young and, you know, inexperienced person. Maybe I wouldn't be able to answer that question. However, I think the eagerness and willingness to learn and adapt had more impact on my adaptation than was my own warmth, maybe. Because now that I'm thinking, I was shy talking to people. Unless they came and talked to me, I wouldn't feel comfortable. But once they, you know, started the conversation, I would feel relaxed.
At ease.
At ease. I'm like, okay, now I can talk to that people. And here, I think I was fascinated how everyone just greeted each other. whether they knew each other or no. They're just passing by, hello. And it was so sweet. Like little things like that, it made me feel like home.
That's interesting. Can you talk a little bit about how you transition from coming to the country feeling that you are somewhat accepted and then to becoming a fashion diva? Entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
And the aspect of this, how does the fashion industry, in your opinion, differ from your country?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let me actually tell you from the beginning, because it has so much to do with my childhood. So I grew up with my grandparents. My mother was a working mother, would work till 4 probably, and then I would spend all my afternoons with my grandmother. She always had a project and I needed. And majority of that was around sewing, knitting. And as a little girl, and I'm talking about 4, 5, 6, around those ages, I started helping my grandmother by just turning the wheel of her sewing machine. She had one of those pieces, you know, it was so old that, you know, it wasn't broken or anything. It was functional, but it was missing, I think, a part where you're supposed to move your feet to, like, move it. Yeah. But then they attached this handle, so she was just holding that piece that she's supposed to do so that the line is straight. And I was just turning the wheel for her. And then after some time, as soon as she would go away, I'm like, oh, let me try that. And it got to a point that I was so precise with those lines or anything, everyone would not believe that a, you know, 6-year-old kid would do that. And then I thought about, oh my God, what about I do the fashion? So back home, and I'm talking about 25, 26 years ago, when I thought of pursuing fashion as a major or as a career, there was no accredited school for me to attend.
Mm.
And back then, if you think about that, no social media, no digital media at all. So you could hear about a fashion designer here and there, but it wasn't a popular thing back home. However, the talent is there. You go to a neighborhood seamstress, they could deconstruct, reconstruct the garment, or just start everything from scratch and give you a nice, beautiful looking piece. So that I was like, how is it even possible? Without going to school, they've already done that? They know how to do this? And of course, coming from a family of, you know, scientists, my mother is a scientist, doctors, nurses, everyone was like, what are you going to do with that fashion? You need a diploma. Any other family, probably in Asia. And
what? You're not going to school?
You're not going to school. And then I decided to study economy. However, look at this now. I've been doing this business for 12 years. And from the little girl who just imagined doing fashion, now I'm involved. And I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a leader that, you know, hoping that, you know, I can pave the road for the next generation.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Can we talk about why you name it Roman?
Okay, the name of the company is actually Take 5 Global. That's the basically parent company, and then we have companies that come under our parent company.
The subsidiaries.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So Roman is one of the brands that we brought to US maybe about 10 years ago or so. And back then, we still have that company who brings unknown brands to US market. We test, and then if they're successful, we continue working with them or bring, and we do the either wholesale distribution or we do the, you know, its own store. So Roman was one of those brands. We were working with several brands, and I still remember that day or month. We decided to bring Roman as a test. We start bringing a few products, and within a month, we were already seeing that, oh my God, people are buying it. We're selling out so fast. And we got another shipment. And then we realized that Roman is a brand that is selling. People like it. It has established its name in a way that, did you get anything from Roman? And that lady was here 2 weeks ago, and she keeps asking about it. So that's how we ended up bringing Roman and making its own first name brand store in the US.
Now, the one that you have here is at Reston Town Center. You also have a location at Tyson's Corner, or is that no longer?
So this is the one that we brought from Tyson's Corner.
Oh, okay.
So this is the only physical store we have, but we have been online. Like, e-commerce has been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we ship, we're saying worldwide, but I will get to that nationwide. However, we have clients that they have been living here for a very long time. We've been helping them. And for example, all the embassy workers or the cultural center workers, the once they start buying here, we already know what they want. We know sizes, we know, you know, the pieces that will work for their personality or the body shape. So that's why we ship back to their countries like Qatar, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Nigeria, you name it. So we're lucky enough to have those people who trust us. So even though they're not here anymore, but they still keep buying from us.
Well, you say luck. I think it's just a lot of hard work cultivating that particular relationship. So I think that you should definitely give yourself a pat on the back.
Thank you. Thank
and your team too, of course.
Oh my God. It is a lot of work. It's not easy, first of all, to attract those clients, and second of all, to keep them your clients, you know, so they keep continue coming back. And I feel like it's not only me, it's an entire team that I work with that work tirelessly and continuously just thinking about how can I add value to this one customer, and one we have tens of thousands right now. So every single time, there's a whole conversation. Okay, if we're getting a top, I know that I have clients who might love this. We're getting the list, we're contacting them personally. I got this, we're sending them the pictures. So you're right. The team and I, we work continuously behind the scenes just to make, you know, their experience so meaningful that, you know, they keep coming back.
I can see the glow when you talk about fashion.
I do have
So, as a woman in fashion, being a diverse entrepreneur, what are some of the challenges that you might have to overcome?
I think challenge will be there, always will be there. Nobody knew about COVID coming. Nobody knew about economic, you know, downturn or recession.
Layoffs.
The layoffs, and right now being in the DC area, we feel it more and more. I think, first of all, you need to know your client. You need to understand your audience. It's such a critical part of this kind of job, and I think in any job, to be honest with you, you just have to know your audience. You have to understand what they want, what their demand is, what their need is, and being able to cater to them. And then, having said that, you have to be able to innovate, you have to come up with fresh ideas, services, how you can be better than the next competitor. So the challenge has always been there, but I think the innovation and going back to your root in terms of why am I here in the business? I'm here to bring or transform, I don't want to say lives, but part of their personality in a way that the confidence is there, they feel pretty, they feel like they belong to the place. However, they keep creating memories with these pieces because when they come and buy something, we help them to choose, for example, the special garment. Yes, psychologically, it affects them, it transforms them. And fashion, yes, it's a piece of garment. However, if you think about that, it's a very powerful form of self-expression. And then we help them to create that for themselves. If they're going to an event, we know how to put that, you know, look together so they feel strong, they feel confident, and they're ready to take over. And yet, if somebody's, you know, daughter's or son's wedding, we create that, you know, sweet memory that we'll never forget. Even, you know, those are the happiest moments, but then sometimes they want to remember their parents, the loved ones, and then we pick those outfits for them too. then again, we create something for them that they will never forget. And I think going through challenges is being so connected to those people, being and understanding what they want and delivering it to them in a way that they feel that special connection with you. That's the only way that you're going to go through the challenges.
The question I have for you now then is, as women, we tend to be very self-critical, especially about our body images. Weight, you know, it's like we don't have necessarily the model physique. So if someone that is not quite confident coming in, I will just take myself as an example. I'm very self-conscious about like my body type. And so a lot of times I wear a lot of black. I wear a lot of gray. My mom would always tell me, why are you wearing like an old lady? And red is a very powerful color, but I don't actually own a piece of red in my entire wardrobe. And the episode title is Winning Wardrobe. So walk us through how Sakina worked with her client to build that confidence.
Great question. We have two types of clients. The clients who come here, even though they're very insecure, but they want to try and see. And then we have clients who resist, saying that black is the only color that I should wear because it needs to look a certain way. To be honest with you, we don't push, because for us, it's important to make the client feel comfortable and safe around us. And then once we gain that confidence, we work towards the way, how about this style? How about this color? We just want to try here. Let's give it a try. Maybe you don't see yourself in it. However, what's the message that you're giving when this, you know, when you wear a certain color or shape? So I think it's very important to be on the same team with the client first. If you're not comfortable with that red color, I will push you to buy red at first. I would go slowly towards, okay, if you're wearing black, how about we put something red around it? How about an accessory? Or maybe a blazer that would blend with the black but still be a little color to your outfit. And then slowly transition you to a navy, to dark green.
A jewel navy.
Dark blue on a green, and then slowly just get the gradient down until you go to that beautiful bright red color that you're comfortable with. I remember working with a stylist, who worked with a lot of stylists, by the way, personal shoppers. I remember every time she would come in here to the store, she would say, my client doesn't wear color. She's actually a lawyer.
Of course. You have to be conservative to represent like the seriousness and the status, I think.
Absolutely.
So the order is like black, gray, you know, navy blue.
Navy blue. And...
white too, you know, inside.
No. So she started pulling clothes that are really, really dark colors. And then I would help her, you know, to pick, because I've seen the picture now that she has purchased a few times. I know what she likes. Why don't you just show this piece to her? And it's been already the 3-4 times that she's purchased. She went and came back with that piece. The second time we put like 3-4, but she said, oh, she actually tried it on. It's not like she said, no, I don't want this. She tried it on. And then, I'm not joking, after a year, we started putting colors for her.
Is you building that trust?
We built that trust. It wasn't what we were pushing. I'm like, but we were building that confidence. It actually looks good. And it's appropriate. It's your personality. We understand you're a lawyer. You have to give certain, you know, image. However, you can play that with a very sharp suit that is maybe dark orange. With a dark black, maybe, you know, cami under or shirt under, but we still can do that. And right now, we're doing colors for that client.
Maybe not in court. Because I don't think the judge is not ready for that yet.
Maybe. But client meetings, the board meetings, I think that we have come a long way and even consultants, if you think about that, we have like the area here, we have a lot of companies.
A lot of powerhouses here.
A lot of it, yes. And I feel like these days, women are more open to colors than maybe even 10 years ago. We're seeing that. And, you know, when you go to a room, seeing, you know, 10 women wearing black, well, first you're going to feel out of place. But now that people are doing more and more, now three of them wearing color, so you're not going to feel out of place. So we're just trying to say that maybe you can step into that little bit, you know?
Baby step.
Baby step. Then we'll go take it from there. But my suggestion, don't go in all the way. Take baby steps, try accessories, try maybe if you're comfortable actually having the black, like the main piece, have something colorful under. I'm not talking about prints yet. So
yep.
Just talking about solid color shirts, t-shirts, or camis under. So just to give it a little bit of pop color, and it brings so much personality to the table as well.
Do you think that personality, certain personality goes better with a certain tone of color, like warm color versus a cool color?
Yes. Let me tell you about that because this is my favorite topic.
Of course. You're a fashionista.
There's so much psychology behind it. Like every time I get so overwhelmed when I talk about it, but in a good way.
Yes.
So, absolutely. Now, these days, it has become very popular. People get their MBTI test done. They get their personality because it's important to know yourself. That's where you start. But then you start the work within and then it reflects out. So we're doing that MBTI test with the clients and then we're getting their color palette out. And then you're not going to believe. They thought, we call them seasonal colors, warm colors, cold colors. People who thought they were cold, they're actually warm. Or the other way around. And then, but this is not my personality question comes out if it's a warm color. I'm like, however, if it didn't have it in you, it wouldn't reflect that much. I'm pretty sure that, you know, having a career is a totally different thing. I'm pretty sure that in your workspace, being in the, you know, among all those law-related career-owned people, you had your own personality. It didn't have to have, you know, you didn't have to be cold or serious all the time. You have to have that warmth so you can get the attention or build the trust of the clients. The same thing here. You can be strong, however warm. So that's why we keep telling to our clients, know your personality. Deep down, you do have that form of warmth. Maybe you don't realize it when it comes to your career. However, playing it along slowly, it comes out.
I think sometimes in certain professions, especially the serious one, we sort of have to hide ourselves and then have to portray that image. So we sort of live in our own illusion that, oh, this is the only way that we can be. That wouldn't be fun because people might not take us seriously. If we read that, like, I'm just looking at that orange silk scarf, and it's like, it would look really good with black. So, you know, it's like, but if I go to a client meeting or court, how would other people think of us? Dressing is such a personal topic, and it has to reflect how you feel about yourself. But so many women, it's so overwhelming how they think other people will look at. It's like, so are you living your life for yourself, or are you living your life for other people? I mean, in the more traditional, like lawyers or accountants, that type of service industry, I think there's a little bit more stereotypes of what would be a power image. I know someone that loved to wear red. It looked good on her, great. When I walk in your store, I was just happy seeing so many colors. Now, when I put it all on, I'm not quite sure, but I'm just happy seeing it. Just like when you said that, the sun is out, you know, it just puts you in a good mood. So, Roman, when I'm walking here, I saw, like, you know, for example, the blue blazer. I was like, oh, that's my blue. It's actually, the baby blue is my favorite color. And so that's sort of like a very uplifting feel.
So when it comes to fashion, there's so many ways to play around it. You're not restricted to certain colors or, well, you know, career like that you are, but, you know, a few tricks for the audience.
That's good. We need all the tricks.
Yes. So the trick here is, if you're doing only one color, you're adding a shape. So for example, you have to wear black, right? How about you do a blazer that is asymmetric, not crazy, but slightly, or would puff your sleeves, still very sharp and put together, or you're going three quarters with just a lace here. This is one trick to do. So if it's same color, you're doing a shape. If you're doing a color, then you have to know the balancing point. Okay, red is too much, then put a black with it, or gray looks good with it, navy looks good with it. You're playing, you know, that balancing game. Or the texture. Doesn't matter how boring your look is, add a texture. And it could be neat, it could be lace, or it could be faux leather or leather look. So you can create all these looks despite, you know, you don't like the, you don't want the color, you don't want the shape, you don't want this. But you have, you can do the combination of all three and then put a look together that is not boring, yet appropriate, and then gives out the personality a little bit too. So that's why I think everyone needs to come and ask for help. Because we see things, or the stylists see things that others don't. And we work with all backgrounds. So we know that, you know, yeah, we understand that you have, because of a profession, you have to wear certain colors, certain, shapes.
At least you have mine, that's what we think.
Yes. However, it's not the case.
Yes.
And we can definitely help you to choose and then put together a look that you feel comfortable and then yet appropriate.
Wow, those are really, really good strategies. Can you tell us a little bit about Sakina outside of work?
Oh, I'm a mom. That comes first. I have two daughters, 16 and 11. Whenever I have time, it's time for them. And because when you have a business, unfortunately, you don't have much time. And you go to work, you go home, and basically you just analyze what has happened, you put together your agenda for tomorrow. However, my kids are my life. And recently, I have started paying attention to myself more, learning about myself, doing more activities by myself, and trying to be valuable to my community and younger generation, trying to support them. And I don't know how much I can teach them in terms of, you know, I know about fashion business, but I think being just the supportive person and knowing that whatever happens, I can go and ask for help. I am doing my best to be that supportive mentor whenever it's needed.
You also can let us know if there's anything that we can do to help and support you, because you have been so generous and giving us the time. I don't even know what you thought of me. Let's go back a little bit of how we got to this podcast to begin with.
Yeah.
Tata opened, saw opening. I was like, I met with my friend. She's putting together a retreat. And we talked a little bit about like all the logistics. We just had the retreat over the weekend. It was very successful. And I remember I walked in because I think I was supposed to go to an event and I wasn't sure exactly what I'm going to do. And of course, I talked about my black dress and everything. And then you pull out this, like, I think it's an orange or a like pretty bright blazer.
Yes.
And then we started talking. I'm thinking like, I wonder what Sakina thought of me like after this, because I'm like, oh, I own my own company and I'm just like literally going from Tata into my parking space,
yeah,
right? And then I was like, oh yeah, I had a podcast, and we started talking about it. So I totally would invite you to be on the podcast, and here we are.
Yeah,
kind of crazy story.
Small world. To be honest with you, Ashley, I talk with a lot of people.
Yes.
And you do create that bond, but ours was in such short time.
Exactly, because like, I was like, oh, okay, I got 5 minutes.
Yeah, she's like, I have 5 minutes. How about you? You know, we talked a lot in terms of you, what you've done in the past, and I talked about my business here, but then the connection was just right there, and here we are.
You know, in Chinese, there's a word that's called yuanfen. That's fate. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I could have walked down two more stores.
Absolutely.
To somewhere else. I was like, this used to be Maybell. I really like how it's decorated. Look at the colors. And then you were here by yourself, and I was like, I didn't even know who you were.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. And then I'm like, oh. And then you told me that you were the owner. I was like, well, how did you get into all this business? And all these questions started coming in.
Yeah.
And then later on, we just sort of make it happen. So we are like women who make things happen.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that. We talked about like the next generation. If you have two pieces of advice, let's limit on two right now.
Mm-hmm.
What would you offer them?
Ask for help. Always. Don't think you can get everything done by yourself, and it's okay to ask for help. It's important to ask for help. And second, start building network as soon as you can, because that community will give you so much that you can take that and just, you know, skyrocket. It's very important to have your support system around you, and that supportive group of people will be there from, you know, your good to bad, down or up. So that's why it's really important to ask for help and creating that network.
So if our audiences would like to connect with you, where should they go?
So LinkedIn and social media such as Instagram, those are the two platforms I use the most. And I would be happy if they just walk in here. I'm here in Preston Sound Center.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sakina. That's amazing. And with that, I just want to offer you two books that I wrote.
Thank you.
Building a Leadership Habitat and Collaborating in Competitive Ecosystems. And
we really appreciate it.
Yep. I would love to hear what your children also have feedback, you know,
absolutely,
if they want to read. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amazing connection.
Thank you.